This is a recording for University of Isfahan English Proficiency Test. Before we begin Part A, you will have a few moments to read the questions. Part A. Listen to answer questions 1 to 5.
Listen to part of a lecture in a management class and take notes.
Good morning, class. Okay. Today, we're going to talk about flex time. Flex time is a scheduling system that, well, it gives full-time employees some flexibility when they're deciding on their work schedules. So, it's not just the typical 9-to-5 workday that most people are used to. I'm going to guess that you probably haven't had a flex time schedule since most of you haven't worked a full-time job yet. But maybe if you talk to your parents or some of your friends, you'll find somebody who has flex time. Anyway, in most cases, an employee can't just decide that they want to work a flex time schedule. It's really up to management to say yes or no. And since we're talking about management in this class, it's important to understand flex time if you ever want to manage a business. Let's start by describing different types of flex time schedules. The first type is called a condensed schedule. Under a condensed schedule, an employee still works the full 40 hours a week, but instead of working those hours over 5 days, which is typical, they work them over 3 or 4 days. So, the weekly hours are condensed into fewer days, right? Let me just give you an example of a condensed schedule. As I said before, a conventional schedule for an office job would be Monday through Friday from 9 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon. Now, a condensed schedule might mean that the person works only 4 days a week. Let's say Monday through Thursday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's a 10-hour workday. So that's one kind of flex time schedule. Another type of flex time schedule is called an altered schedule. With an altered schedule, employees work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. But instead of coming in at 9 a.m., like they would with a traditional work schedule, they come in either earlier or later than that. And their day ends according to when they come in. So maybe an employee will choose to come in at 7 a.m., and they'll work a full 8 hours, so they get to leave at 3 p.m. This could be every day or only certain days of the week. Okay, so those are two types of flex time schedules, the condensed schedule and the altered schedule. If that's clear, let's go ahead and move on. Okay, next we need to talk about the pros and cons of a flex time system. Imagine that you are the manager of an office and you're trying to decide whether flex time is a good way to go. You have to think about the possible advantages and disadvantages, right? Let's start with advantages. First of all, say you allow your employees to work flexible schedules because of maybe family obligations. For example, imagine a household in which both parents work full-time from 9 to 5. But their kids are in school and the school hours are from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. every day. With this schedule, getting the kids to school in the morning is no problem, but picking them up after school might be difficult. So, maybe the mother decides to start a flex time schedule from 7 to 3. That way, the father can take their kids to school in the morning and the mother can pick them up in the afternoon. In this case, using flex time is convenient. Now, if you're a manager and you allow an employee to have flex time to accommodate family obligations, that employee will probably appreciate the flexibility quite a bit. As a result, you are more likely to retain those employees. You'll build loyalty. But flex time is not a perfect system. In fact, there are times when flex time could make life more difficult for you as a manager. For example, let's say you're trying to hold a staff meeting. It could be hard to schedule a meeting that everyone is able to attend if different employees are working different hours. Also, it might be harder for you to oversee your employees' work if they are not always in the office at the same time that you are. And one more thing is that it might be difficult for your employees to work in teams, to work together on different projects, if they're in and out at different times. As a manager, you'd have to weigh the pros and cons and just figure out what works best for your company.
Now answer the questions. You may use your notes.
Part B. Listen to a conversation to answer questions 6 to 9.
Listen to part of a conversation between a student and an employee at the housing office. Take notes.
Hi, I have some questions about housing.
Well, you're in the right place. What can I help you with?
Okay. Since this academic year is almost over, everybody's talking about arranging housing for next semester. The thing is, everyone I know is planning on living in the dorms again, and what I want to know is there a way that I can apply to live off campus?
What year are you?
I'm the first year now, but I'll be a second year student next semester.
I see. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but off campus housing is reserved for third and fourth years, so it's not an option for you.
I was afraid of that. See, I live in a single room in the dorms now, but it's just too loud for me. It's really distracting, and more importantly, it's really affected my grades this year. I mean, usually I'm a straight-A student, but this semester I earned 3 B's and 1 C. That's the first C I've ever gotten, and it's all because it's next to impossible to study in my dorm room.
Is the issue that your neighbors are too loud? I mean, we have policies about loudness in the dorms. Officially, quiet hours are from midnight to 7 a.m. If the people in your dorm aren't following the rules, they can get punished by the university.
No, it's not that at all. Nobody ever made noise during quiet hours. It's just that in order for me to study, I need complete silence, you know? Even the sound of people talking in the next room just kills my concentration.
Well, have you tried studying in the library? A lot of students find that it's easier to study in a library environment. It's a lot quieter than the dorms, for sure.
I know, but, well, I usually can't start studying until pretty late at night, when the library's already closed. Plus, I guess I just prefer to study at home. I think that with my study style and my schedule, it's just better if I live alone off campus. If you don't mind me asking, why is it that only third and fourth years are allowed to live off campus?
There are a couple of reasons, actually. For one, living on campus is just more convenient for underclassmen. I mean, that way you're much closer to your classes, the dining halls, and all the other campus facilities. Most students, especially those in their first and second years, have enough to worry about. By being on campus, they're close to services when they need them. Also, the university really prefers that students live in the dorms for 2 years because of the social environment. In the dorms, you get to meet people who are in the same situation that you're in. In that way, you have a lot of support from other students and friends.
You're definitely right that there are benefits, being close to things and having your friends around. It's just too bad. I think I'd be able to get better grades if I had my own quiet space for studying.
Well, there is the quiet dorm. Have you thought about applying to live there?
I don't think I've heard of that. What's the quiet dorm?
It's a special dormitory on campus, especially for students like you who need a silent space to study in. if you decide to live there, you have to sign a contract that basically promises that you won't make any excessive noise. That means no music and no loud talking. Keep in mind, there's a resident advisor there at all times to enforce the rules.
Wow, that sounds perfect for me. How can I apply to live there?
You just need to fill out this special housing form. Here, let's see. Okay, here's a copy. You fill this out and bring it back to us.
Great! And how long do I have to wait to find out if I can live there or not?
We'll make the announcement the same time as other housing decisions, in 2 weeks.
Okay, I'll fill it out now then. Thanks for all your help.
Now answer the questions. You may use your notes.
Now we shall begin part C. Listen to several short conversations to answer questions 10 to 15.
Number 10.
Will you be driving to school this year?
Unfortunately, I can't afford a car yet.
What does the man mean? Number 11.
So you're spending the holiday weekend in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, my cousin lives there, and he'll put me up.
What does the woman mean? Number 12.
My wife and I would like to have you over for dinner on Friday.
That's very kind of you, but I have theater tickets for that evening.
What does the woman mean? Number 13.
I don't think I'm ever going to find this article that Professor Fraser told me about.
Go to the reference desk. Someone there can tell you how to track it down.
What does the woman suggest the man do? Number 14.
I'm confused about the requirements for this course. Do you know what they are?
It's sort of complicated, but I have a rough idea.
What does the man mean? Number 15.
If you could only wait another 5 minutes, I'm sure the manager will be free to answer your questions.
I'm sorry, but I just can't wait any longer. I have to get to class.
How does the man feel?